galore. Got combo moves, evades and more. With bear traps and hand grenades. Pull the pistol like a maniac right in your face. Popping off caps, leave a trail of guts. Sitting on my chair, scratching my nuts. Don't stop when I shoot, full auto was on. Your ass is grass and I'm mowing the lawn. Hot lead to the head and I won't stop. What your crew gonna do when I hack and chop? All these bitches are prima donnas. I stuff my face with Jimmy Chongas. Tacos and beers, always keeping it loose. Hang on for a minute while I'm dropping a deuce.
Oh, yes. Hey, what? Hey, what? Yes, it's us. We are back here recording a podcast for your very own enjoyment. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn Joe! Hey! Hey, man. How you doing?
Hey, woman. How you doing?
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Hope you all had a good Valentine's Day. Some people don't celebrate it. Some people just complain about it. Some people pretend it doesn't exist. But you know what? Who cares?
Love is in the air.
Mick, why are you all so serious about everything you must have to commentate? But you know what? My name is Joe, and I'm a filmmaker, a photographer, definitely in the band Monday Mistress. But today, I'm a podcaster. Across from me is Yoey's level. Yoey's super talented, one of the greatest illustrators, cartoonists in the whole entire world. Yes, her name is Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing lovely.
Lovely.
It's the week of love continued. February.
It's interesting. So many people were, you know, ever since its incarnation and whatever, they're like, let's talk about the... They're like, it's made up anyway. Valentine's Day is a commercialized, Hallmark-created day. Well, you know what? It's so amazing that people make that type of commentary. Like, you know, it was made up. It was a day that was made up. It is a day that was commercialized and stuff like that. And people sell stuff. And do people should even believe in Valentine's Day? I think the whole debacle is really, really either one, annoying or very entertaining. Sometimes it's hard to tell between what it is.
I think it depends on what your status is. I feel like if you're dating someone, especially in the early stages of romance, you feel like something needs to be done to celebrate Valentine's Day.
But
then also, if you're like single, it's like Valentine's Day sucks.
But see, to me, it's stupid, because these same people that are, or maybe a few of them, I don't know, are complaining about, like, oh, Valentine's Day, I don't believe in Valentine's Day, are the same people that are like, hey, it's Brother and Sister Day, hey, it's Taco Tuesday, you know, it's like, it's Pizza Day, you know what I mean? They're making up these days, too, and they're like, well, they just made up Valentine's Day anyway. Well, you're making up days as well, aren't you?
I mean, every day is something.
Yeah.
Especially with the internet these days.
Just like right now is Carolyn's news time.
Yeah, I hear my soundtrack being played here. So, we have tour dates, and the tour dates have been updated on the website. I'm going to run through them because they're actually coming up sooner than later, because before you know it, it's going to be May 21st and May 22nd. And that is Tidewater Comic Con in Virginia Beach. That is the first time that Curl Studio will be exhibiting at Tidewater. And we're excited about that. I think they're in their third year, but we will be there for the first time. And then a couple weeks later, from June 3rd to June 5th, we are gonna be at AwesomeCon at the DC Convention Center. That is really exciting, and that's always an amazing, fun show.
It's June, right?
Yeah, June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Then, you know, way into the fall.
That's the first weekend of June.
Yes, it is. Way into the fall, but I feel like it will just be here before we know it. September 2nd, 3rd and 4th, another 3-day convention. It's going to be Baltimore Comic Con, another semi-local show that is really amazing, and we always enjoy our time at Baltimore Comic Con. And then we're also going to be at Small Press Expo September 17th and 18th, and that's really exciting. We love SPX. And another show we love, oh my gosh, all the love is going around. October 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, a 4-day show, we're going to be at New York Comic Con. So exciting. And we already have dates for Cartoonist Draw Blood. That's the blood drive I helped put on. That's going to be October 29th. That's a Saturday. So that's exciting. We got it nailed down. We got the whole schedule nailed down for 2016 already. More dates might appear as they come or go. But yes, we already have that nailed down, and it's good to have that schedule nailed down as soon as possible. And we have a lot of really big shows this year. I'm excited. I'm excited for the fall time, and I feel like it's coming. So I feel like we need to make some stuff so we can
just like
some...
the winter time, the fall time will just come rushing through.
Oh yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're 70 years old.
I mean, I can't even believe we're already halfway past February. Like, it just felt like New Year's. It felt like I was, like, sad that 2015 was ending, because it was just... It just felt like it just poofed away.
Yeah.
And now we're already, like, halfway into our second month.
Well, that's what this podcast has pretty much become. You know, thanks, everyone, for listening to this podcast. But, you know, like, this podcast started out as a, like, oh, cool, let's talk about movies. And, you know, like, you know, back when there's no podcast out there, talking about movies and stuff.
It was like in the early days of podcasting.
Early days. And then, you know, after a certain amount of time, much like other people's shows, you can decide to, like, end it, or you can decide to see where it goes. And, you know, a lot of people's podcasts have, like, a lifespan. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I feel like it'll run its course. But I think this podcast is interesting for us because we... make it into, it's pretty much like a document, it's pretty much like our only really outlet besides like our own work, but it's like our outlet. We don't really comment on a lot of stuff, and yet, because that's a whole nother like can of worms in itself, because I feel like when people leave a comment anywhere, it just opens them out. They're, you know, it's like, it's pretty much like you're fair game, you're open to, you know, every single word will be criticized, but then there's like a dishonestness to it too, because you're still hiding behind things. And I like the search for the truth, and to me, having you, the listener, have the ability to listen to us talk, and, you know, it's a documentary, because I come from a documentary world, but it's also this piece of us, this, you know, our moment of our entertainment, hopefully, that we can hand to you, that you can enjoy that.
Yeah, and so for me, Valentine's Day was really exciting, because we saw Deadpool. And we ate tacos at Taco Bamba. And we got to see a burlesque show with Angie Pontani and several other awesome burlesque dancers. And Maury Hill hosted the show. It was really exciting. And so, I mean, it was like an action-packed day of lots of stuff. And I got to take a nap in between, which hardly ever happens. So see, that's so relaxing and nice.
See, I feel like I was thinking about this when I was driving, about like holidays in general, you know, like holidays, just stuff like that, where it's Valentine's Day or the Christmas or the President's Day. And I was thinking about that time, well, I was thinking about like the fact of like, you know what, all these things are pretty made up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all these things, you know, you don't have to have them, you don't have to celebrate them. And I always stumble upon people talking about like, you know, like, I don't celebrate this because of that, I don't celebrate this because of that, and why are we taking a break? But also, like, to me, I was thinking about a life without holidays, a life without a reason to even like take a moment to just have a break or something like that. Because in a way, the weekend is a holiday. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For people working 9 to 5, not like me, not me, but because I worked all weekend. But for people who do have that 9 to 5 or that steady case, you know, a weekend is a holiday. And I was thinking about like when people are like taking away other holidays, they're like, well, who cares about President's Day? I don't believe in this. And like I was like, well, all this stuff, what if all this stuff was really just bullshit of just like of someone just out there is like in the beginning of time was like, we just need some reason to have a fucking break. Give us a freaking break. Because if you don't keeping track of time in general is just like, that's just an organizational tool, maybe. You know what I mean? Maybe we're recording the passing of moments and stuff like that. But I feel like time in general, if you were just to continue day by day without anything sort of special to look forward to, or to even know that something, an event is happening, I feel like you'd have less purpose in a day or a week or a month, in a year. You know what I mean?
It's a way to keep track, way to keep everybody on the same type of schedule.
But it's also you need a break, right?
Yeah. Also, like, just in the past few years, I feel like Columbus Day is totally getting attacked. But I mean, I'm not like necessarily standing up for it or anything, but I'm just saying, like, I just feel like everybody's like, what is this holiday? What is this holiday? We don't even F Columbus. And like, he didn't really discover America. And then like, and then they talked slavery and all this other stuff.
But I feel like if you take away Columbus Day, the world will fill in something else. I mean, even in different countries, well, then, you have different holidays.
They're
anyway.
Already petitioning to have it be like, I forget how, I guess Indigenous People Month or day. So they're already trying to, I guess, fit in them into Native Americans into that. But it's crazy too, because like everywhere I've ever worked, there's certain days where like I actually don't get off. Like I don't get off Martin Luther King Day or Columbus Day or President's Day or a couple other ones. You know, like the, I hate to call it this, but like the mediocre holidays. Yeah. I actually don't get off. The only days I get off is like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Labor Day. Off the top of my head. I think 4th of July also. So maybe that's like 4 days a year.
Yeah.
I can't remember any others. There might be one or two. But, that, I mean, I think it's just that, though. I don't even think I get those other one or twos. You know, it's like all those days I don't get off. So, yeah, it's crazy, though. Cause I don't think I get off Memorial Day either. I could be wrong about that one. But, yeah, I just think it's crazy, though, that like no one's actually sitting at home, though, thinking about Martin Luther King. They're not like, oh man, I gotta think about Martin Luther King, because I know I didn't when I was younger, but I do now.
But it's interesting, though, because like, you know, Martin Luther King was what, the when did he die? I'm not good with the dates, but it's probably the 69 or something like that. In that, this, right?
I don't know
when we got assassinated. It's like in those past years, past since then, because you have Columbus, you have Martin Luther King Day. It's like, okay, what else has to happen? President's Day, what else, or who's going to step up to deserve a day that we get a day off? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
What does a person have to do to get those credentials? It's
gotta be legendary.
And then you got to get assassinated. You got to die.
Yeah,
apparently,
you
is one thing.
Gotta die, you got to die. Have your day.
There's no Picasso Day or Van Gogh Day where you get a break.
I mean,
break
they
or something
actually
like that.
Probably do have their own day,
but
it's
not a government holiday.
It's not a federal holiday.
Then why is Martin Luther King a federal holiday?
Because he changed the lives of black people everywhere.
What about the Asians and what about the Hispanics?
I don't know of any Asian heroes. I'm sure they exist, but I just
probably
don't know.
Not in America yet, right?
I just don't
or
know.
Or they're not recognized.
I just don't know of any off the top of my head. So it's, I mean, if you look at modern history, Martin Luther King does stand out as an influential figure. So I see why he gets his own day. But it's just crazy because, like, anywhere I've ever worked for the past 10 years, like, no one's really so, like, I never get the day off, but it makes for a great commute because, like, government's off, and so, like, all those people aren't coming into work.
I mean, I doubt people are actually celebrating that day in general.
No, they don't. But actually, I listen to
just
WPFW,
like, they don't celebrate
just
like how they don't celebrate Valentine's Day. It's like people choose to just not celebrate, they just take it.
Well, WPFW does do a tribute to Martin Luther King on the radio, and they play a lot of his speeches, and I actually love doing that. Like, that's like my celebration. I'll go into work and I'll listen to that. I'll be like, oh yeah, it's Martin Luther King Day, and I'll put on WPFW and listen to the speeches, and I think it's great. I mean, I think more people should celebrate, even if, you know, maybe it's not the full day, but maybe just listen to one or two of his speeches for a few minutes and just be thankful and all that stuff. But people, you know, when I was younger, I didn't think about Martin Luther King. You just think about a day off, and, you know, if it's snowing or you can do a crossword puzzle and like hot chocolate and stuff, you think about that, and like, I guess you are being with your family, so that's nice. But there's always, I don't know, like with me with Valentine's Day, I hate to say it's like a love hate thing, because I appreciate that there is a day where you can at least acknowledge love. It might not have to be like a romantic interest or anything, but you can at least have like a friend or some type of activity that you can be like, hey, happy Valentine's Day, or oh, let's go to this show, or something like that. But
I do think if you don't give people a certain day or a time,
they'll just keep on
going on with their life. That's what I'm saying. It's like, if you don't really give these little moments or breaks, people don't realize what they have. Because a lot of people be like, well, I'm single, so that hurts for me. Well, it's like, well, then there's other people who are actually in a good relationship. Don't shit on them for busting their ass and working hard for that.
Yeah,
because
it takes effort to have even a good relationship that's going strong. I mean, you hear about people that have been married for like 50, 60 years. Like, that should be acknowledged more. And I think it's rare even these days to see stuff like that. And I think it's wonderful. But my whole thing with the whole presents thing is, like, honestly, I can appreciate like one maybe two pieces of chocolate, and it's not because, like, necessarily, oh, I'm trying to stay super thin necessarily. I actually don't really love chocolate. I know that's like gonna
It's funny.
Make people upset.
It's funny how that becomes like a girl thing. Oh, all women love chocolate.
I mean, it definitely tastes good.
They're never like, guys, have all this chocolate. I don't know what guy gifts. They're like, chocolate, have chocolate. Here's a car. Here's a steering
wheel. Well, they do make
here's
chocolate with bacon now. So I guess that's like a guy thing.
But like, it's like, you ever notice that? It's like now women and chocolates. It's like, that's a thing.
It's been a thing.
It's like they go together.
And yogurt, too.
They love those. It's just like saying, oh, black people, they love fried chicken. Oh, women, they love them chocolates.
They love the chocolates.
They love them chocolates, and they love those romantic comedies, and they love like the jewelry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess that's a different level of sexism, racism, right?
Yeah. When I was younger, my dad used to get, like, I guess they still make them, but they're like the tiny heart packs of, like, I guess it's Russell Stover chocolates or some company like that. But they seriously give you like 3 or 4 in the pack. And I'm okay with that, because that's like a minimal amount that you could eat through the week. I'm okay with that. But if somebody gives me like a giant box of chocolate, of course, I think visually it looks awesome. I actually did a cartoon of like all the chocolates together. So you can look that up on my Instagram, is at Carolyn Bilevsky. But yeah, so I love like the visual of the chocolates, and like you open the box and it's like all the chocolates look so luscious. But I actually don't want to sit there and eat like 30 chocolates. To me, that just seems like really unhealthy.
That is unhealthy.
And it's just like,
if anything, it's like wishing something horrible on someone.
Like, it's like decadent, you know? It's like, here, gain 10 pounds. You know, it's just too decadent for me to like just devour chocolate. But like I said, if it's one or two pieces, I'm okay with that.
But what's the difference between that and having like a really good meal though too, right? I don't know what I don't know what the measurements are there.
I mean, for me, maybe my chocolate is like a nachos, so I'm like, oh, give me like pile on like a big plate of nachos and I'll be happy. Maybe some women like see a big thing of chocolate and they're like, yes, chocolate. But yeah, it's just not my thing. And then even like the jewelry thing feels like really forced. Like, yes, of course, I'm a woman and I love jewelry. Like pretty much every woman does. You know, like who wouldn't love a nice necklace or whatever? You know, ring, whatever floats your boat. I don't have pierced ears, so like earrings don't do anything for me. But I'm just saying that, like, yeah, of course, if somebody presents you with a necklace or something, you're gonna, like, your eyes are gonna light up and you're gonna smile and you're gonna be like, oh my God, thank you. And you're just gonna be like all melty in love. Like, yeah, it's gonna get that emotion from you. So maybe some guys just are like, hey, just gonna spend that money and get that emotion and get that outcome. But to me, it feels like really forced to like have a guy buy you jewelry every year. Like, it just seems a lot. Like, and I don't know, maybe there are some women that like don't get treated like that all the time. But I'm sure there are some women that get a piece of jewelry probably like every year. And that's a little much. But also, even the flowers, like, oh, again, of course, I'm a woman and I love flowers. You can't go wrong with flowers. I mean, they're beautiful and like everything is great. But then also you're spending like 30 or more bucks on like this arrangement, and you know, it only lasts like a week. So I guess you take good pictures or draw it. I guess you could always draw flowers and those will last forever, or as you know, a lifetime. It's just I don't know, in that aspect it does feel like merchandising is a little much. It's like the flowers, chocolate,
are those
jewelry.
The easy answers though, is that really the thing? Is like those feel like the easy answers, like, oh, that's romance, here's romance, chocolate and flowers.
I mean, it definitely is like not really, like, creative at this point, because
I feel like after a certain amount of time, I feel like women would start to, like, I can see how they'd be, like, surprises, like, oh, you got me flowers, oh, you got me chocolate, but I feel like after a certain while, do you think all women would be like, wait a minute, is this all you think that you, is this all that you really think is romantic, you think just chocolate, you're just gonna do those things, is that it? That's
something
romance.
That's also really funny is, like, if you go shopping, especially on Valentine's Day, if you happen to be in the grocery store or, like, a day or two before, you'll see men walking around the grocery store. And seriously, though, it's funny because it looks like they've never been in a grocery store in their life. Like, they don't know where the checkout lanes are. I'm like, dude, really? They don't know, like, their way around the store. And you'll see them, like, wandering around, like, with a bouquet of flowers. And it just looks sad because it makes me think of like all the women that do all the shopping and do everything for the man and probably cook and do everything else. And then this guy like can barely try to get flowers. It just, I don't know. I see it like this year I didn't go out around Valentine's Day, but almost every year I've seen it and it looks kind of pathetic, but at least they're getting their woman something. At least I feel like Valentine's Day needs to be acknowledged though. You can't just like pretend that it doesn't exist on both ends of the spectrum.
There's a certain point where you can't really... You know what I mean? It's, I feel like it's a, it's earned its due simply because of its lasting quality. You know what I mean? Because out of all the days, because like, oh, that's such a, if you're thinking of like little holidays that you can make for people, like, oh yeah, you should have one for the, you should have one for like relationships or like just love in general, you know? And then like, oh, what about French Fry Day? Okay, let's make French, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's for things that have lasted so long, you got to give them credit.
I mean, Valentine's Day, even though it's not a federally recognized holiday, it's still written in almost every calendar.
Yeah.
Like pretty much, I don't think I've ever seen a calendar where Valentine's Day wasn't under February 14th. And it's a date that people know. Like, everyone knows February 14th. That's the date. And, you know, there, I do like the holiday because I like acknowledging love. I know how if, like, someone is single, that that might be painful. But also you gotta, like, I guess think more positively about it. And just, like, you know, hope that what you're looking for is out there. And be willing to, like, find it. Because you can't just, like, wallow in your sorrow all day and, like, cry or something, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you can, I mean, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't. I mean, you can, for a little bit, just to get it out. But once you get it out, you gotta get out there.
I feel like I'm at the certain point in my life where I feel like I'm, like, the emotional asshole. I'm like, if a person is feeling sad or if they're being depressed, I'm just like, come on, man, get the fuck up and get over it. You know what I mean? And then, you know, then I guess it's not that easy. But like, I feel like I'm that person now that I'm just, I guess what's the word? It's like I'm insensitive to it, or I have no patience for people being like that because there's so many. Maybe I'm just so tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, Valentine's Day can be rough
because really, you see a lot of sad people out there, and I can sometimes I feel like other people don't know how to act the other way because there's so many people that are releasing the sad energy, if that makes any sense. So if there's like, if so many people are releasing sad energy, if you're surrounded by that all over the place, it's hard to break out and be like, oh, this must be the norm to act like. I'll just be sad. You know, it's so easy. I'll just pour out all my sad emotions. And you don't think the other way. You don't think like, hey, I got to fight this. There must be another way. And I find it strange, but I understand how it is to feel sad. I understand all that stuff, but I understand at the same time that like, you know, everyone has their down points and, you know, they should have their down points. So, you know what the great points can be. But I just hope and feel that people are at least working for happiness. They're working to be happy, not just like, you know, they're not being lazy about sadness. They're not just like, I'm just sad. I'll just let it happen.
Yeah.
And that part just gets really annoying to me because it's like, if you're not, I don't know, to me personally, I don't like it when you're not progressively at least trying. Once you stop trying, it's sort of just like you're a quitter, and I don't know. I understand how it can hurt. I understand how it can all hurt because, I mean, it's a painful thing, but it's an adventure. Just look at it as an adventure. You're going to fall into the river. You're going to be on top of a mountain. You might get attacked by a lion, but it's an adventure.
Or a bear.
Or a bear.
Might be like the Revenant.
But it's war. It's an adventure, man, and, you know, don't be sad for too long and don't complain about it. Don't bitch about it too much. Get it out, but don't be like Eeyore all day long. You have shit to do. You have stuff to move on to.
Exactly. So we saw Deadpool, and that was like a massive Valentine's Day opening. You mentioned it broke all these records. So it's the number one opening for an R-rated film of all time.
And just number one movie of all time on February.
So it won the month of February.
Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff. Did you think any of that was going to happen?
Honestly, no. Because I will say, just putting this out here, so in case anybody is like a big comics Deadpool fan,
they're
going to
nerd cred you.
I just have to say, that's the cool thing. First of all, I have never read Deadpool. I am aware of him. And my main affiliation with knowing even about Deadpool is because of Riley Brown. And we went to school with him at VCU. And, you know, he knows us.
He's
we
an
know
awesome,
him.
Awesome illustrator.
He's a great comic illustrator. And he works on Deadpool. And so that's the only reason why I actually know about Deadpool and some of this news is because of Riley. Because I pay attention to what he's up to. And he, you know, he's a really great artist and person. So I'm really happy that the character that he illustrates is, like, breaking all these records. Like, I'm happy for Riley, mostly, you know? Like, I'm just like, wow, that's awesome. Because also I saw a graphic that had, like, I don't know, like, 9 other superhero films, and then it had Deadpool's, like, first weekend box office numbers matched up with all these other superhero movies, and Deadpool, like, blew them all away. Like, I don't know the names of all the other ones, but it was, like, Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, like, all these other movies.
Wait, and, of what? They...
like... I can try to bring it up for a second and, like, actually show the numbers, but it, yeah, I guess it had, like...
You have time. I'll break it down. Why not?
Yeah, because I was,
spread, like... Spread the news.
I was, like... It was some massive number difference, and I couldn't believe it, actually, because I don't know what the source was, but I'm going
to
look it up.
Well, I feel that, like, just this, the fact that Deadpool is a... I would claim it to be a success. The story is a success on its own, because Deadpool... You know, to me, I was following, you know, I tend to follow movies and their production, and Ryan Reynolds he's played Deadpool, he played Green Lantern, but he's always been gunning to do the Deadpool movie, and there's a time that, of course, that was never going to happen because of, you know, you saw the Deadpool movie, if you watched the first Wolverine, why would you want to see that Deadpool? That should not even be Deadpool, if you think about it. Actually, if you think about it, it's not Deadpool. But... the leaking of the test footage that was potentially going to be for the Deadpool feature, you know, that wasn't going to be made, you know, that got some buzz, and that got people really wanting to get this Deadpool movie, the right Deadpool movie made, the Merc with the Mouth. They wanted to see that. What you got? Did you find it?
Yeah, I found this graphic. So I don't know which Batman this is. Do you know which Batman this is? The top right corner,
I mean,
or top left?
That looks like the Christopher Nolan one.
Okay, so the Christopher Nolan Batman. This is all opening weekend numbers. So that was 48 million. Then Iron Man, which I don't know which Iron Man this one is. It's just a picture of Iron Man. But this is 98 million.
I guess of the first non-sequel movie. Non-sequel superhero movie.
Superman is 116 million. Thor is 65 million. Cap is 65 million. Hulk is 55 million. Spider-Man is 114 million. And Wolverine is 85 million. And then Deadpool is 134 million.
A non-sequel superhero movie, and it's rated R.
So I guess what was the second place compared to that was probably Superman was 116.
Because also Deadpool is not a main... He's not... I mean, in a way, he's an A-lister, but he's not an A-lister. He's not a top role model guy. He's not a Cena. He's not a John Cena or a Hulk Hogan.
I don't even think. Yeah, I like how we put it into wrestling terms. He's probably like a Ziggler.
Yeah, he's a Ziggler.
He's a Dolph Ziggler. And for example, like I always judge everything. If my parents know something, then it's mainstream and everyone knows about it. I'm pretty sure my parents don't know who Deadpool is. They might know about the movie. They might be like, yeah, this movie Deadpool. Like, they might not even know what it is.
Yeah.
But they might have heard the name somewhere. But, like, they definitely didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Like, but of course, you know, you have Captain America, Batman, Spider-Man. Everyone knows who those guys are. Those are A-listers. And
but Deadpool?
Deadpool. I'm like, Deadpool's blowing everybody out of the water.
But what do you think led to that? Do you think because it's the freshness, or do you think people just, they, a lot of buzz?
Oh, man. I really don't know. Because also R-rated. Because
I was going to see it anyway. So I can't really gauge on my, like, I never heard of this Deadpool. It's like, I already knew this. So my movie theater watching is based on research alone. So my opinion is off. From everyone's, I feel like.
I think everyone just really came out to support it. Like, all the comic book people.
You didn't think because they pushed it as the posters for a romance? Do you think people were, like, tricked? Weren't you saying, like, people were, like, because the way you saw the romantic posters, like, oh, girls want to see Ryan Reynolds and all
that. Yeah, they're like, oh, Deadpool, okay. Sure, we'll see that.
Is
Ryan Reynolds.
Pool of Dead? Him. That's all right.
Yeah, like, I know a lot of people, like, that brought their older teenagers to see the film, and they're probably too young for a rated R, but they still saw it.
Yeah, because there's blood and titties in that. There's lots of blood and titties in that.
There were 2 young children in the theater that I saw, but then they got up and left, like, they're in the middle of a Red Band trailer.
Yeah.
So
you're like, this one's not Alvin and Chipmunks.
Yeah, I don't know, but okay, going into the film, okay, so we saw it actually on Valentine's Day, on Sunday, and I try to stay offline, you know, for some of it. But I guess, you know, sometime on Friday or Saturday, I saw people that have already seen it that they were like, Deadpool is a great movie, but definitely don't bring your kids. This is definitely rated R.
And then you're like, what do you mean great movie? I don't trust your opinion.
I mean,
I wouldn't say it's great. It's not the greatest movie ever made.
I mean,
it's not no Citizen Kane, greatest movie ever made.
I knew going into it that, it, you know, if people are saying that it's good, then I'm like, okay, then they did the character right. Then, like, if they approve, like, usually with a comic book crowd, if they approve then and they say it's a great movie, then that means that they did the character right.
Well, I also think that, like, the team that made the movie would not have gone through all this pain if they weren't going to do that character right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, because the character that Ryan Reynolds, the Deadpool that Ryan Reynolds played in the Wolverine movie, that was not the Deadpool. You know what I mean? I felt so like he was burned.
But why did that happen, though? Like, why did they not make Deadpool the way Deadpool should be back then?
Because it fucking probably didn't even fucking care about any of that shit.
That's a waste.
Watch, if I show you that movie, the Wolverine Origins Wolverine or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and because Ryan Reynolds is there and he's playing Deadpool,
yeah,
and you watch that and you compare it to now and you're like, what the fuck were they thinking, man?
Yeah,
they Hollywooded that shit. That's what they did. They Hollywooded that.
Why?
Because didn't know.
See, now with this big emergence of Deadpool and people probably discovering this character, wanting to know more about this character, I hope people read the comics more, which would be great too, so that they can dive into that. But also, I feel like movies now are gonna be a little more edgy, and people are sick of, I think overall villains are in, people are sick of seeing like the goody two shoes saving the world right now. They want to see
a little bit darker.
They want to see it darker, edgier. They want to see the edge. They want to see the humor. They want to see the vulgarness of it. But
they want it all the way, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they had that with Kick-Ass and all that stuff. But now you want to see...
Well, Kick-Ass really, 2 was not a good film.
Here's the thing, though. You can't really... There's only one Deadpool.
There is only one.
What other character would...
Of course, he's going to get a sequel based, you know, obviously.
There's no other character like Deadpool. There's no Merc with the Mouth that breaks the fourth wall.
There might not be any more, but it might lead, if anything, my hope is that it leads to some type of more characters. Okay, so when did Deadpool originate?
Deadpool was created by Rob Liefeld.
What year? Or what time frame?
That's a tough one.
80s, 90s?
He's an early 90s one. Something might be 92 or 94, because he was created in X-Force.
Okay. See, because my whole thing is, like, and I'm not against Batman, Superman, all those guys. Those guys have been around for years and years and years. And so now, you know, they're digging into their universe. And even with Guardians of the Galaxy, no one knew who Guardians of the Galaxy is. Even hardcore comic book fans had no idea what that was. No one knew. That was like a totally... Unrelated to the comic is the movie.
Yeah, and people who I don't know. I just think that anyone who was like, I read Guardians of the Galaxy. I just feel like they're just, you know what I mean? Okay, they're just trying to find that cool cred.
There probably,
you know,
are some people that really legit did, but it was very low percentage.
Yeah.
And I'll take their word for it, but I'm just saying, in general, let's be honest, no one read or paid attention to Guardians of the Galaxy until James Gunn reemerged that sucker out of there, you know?
Yeah.
And I was really excited about Guardians of the Galaxy when I first saw the first trailer. I was like, I'm in.
And that's the thing with comics, Marvel and DC, they know these things are happening, so they rev up their characters beforehand.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, this movie's coming out in 3 years. We need to get these things going.
I do think that the Deadpool characters are a lot different than the Guardians of the Galaxy characters.
Well, yeah, because Deadpool characters, you're in the X-Men world. But those are the same characters. They're all the same universe, X universe.
What I'm getting at, though, is that they still have that same type of snark. I personally love Guardians of the Galaxy because it wasn't as vulgar. Like,
also, one takes place in outer space.
Yeah. I mean, I loved all the characters and everything. I mean, you have like a tree and a, you know, crazy raccoon. I'm in. But I'm saying, like, that's all perfect for me. But like with Deadpool, for me personally, and not just being like, it's a girl. Not like any of that. Just for me personally, as Carolyn, like, I appreciate his character. I just don't know if he's for me. Like
that's usually how everything is.
But I mean, it was a fun movie.
If you think about it, it is in a way like an R-rated Spider-Man because Spider-Man wears a mask, mm-hmm. and then they have the same eye hole things, and also they're smart asses.
Creating the character, like sewing up their own outfits at first.
Yeah, so that. It has that sort of take on it.
Yeah, and I totally see similarities, but like for me, like Spider-Man is my dude.
It's the wholesome version.
I do like the wholesomeness of it. Like I personally think that Deadpool's a little too vulgar. Like
I mean, it's a raunchy ass character.
There's
right?
only like so many like dick jokes that I can like laugh at. Like I'll like my stamina for that is like a few. Like I'm not like so prude enough to be like, oh please don't discuss your dick.
Even from a Kevin Smith background.
Yeah, I mean I like all of Kevin Smith stuff, but Kevin Smith keeps it at a minimal. Like he'll mention like a dick joke a couple times and then just to get you in there and be like, ha ha ha, you're loose and you're laughing. But he doesn't like keep pounding on the dick. You know, like, I felt like Digpool. I felt like Digpool, my new word for him. No, like, he's just, like, a total dick, you know, like, but he owns it, which I think is cool. Like, if you're going to go all out, you got to go all out. And that's what I thought was really good about his character. I personally just don't, my threshold for dick jokes is, like, a few. Maybe six throughout the whole movie. But I can't deal with, like, 30.
Well, if there's one thing I look forward to, if they should bring into the next movie, is the fact that Deadpool is supposed to be insane, mm-hmm. and then that's why he's breaking the fourth wall and stuff like that.
I thought that was good.
I'm intrigued to see them actually put over him being insane because, like now, if people didn't know that I don't watch the movie. I didn't feel like people were like, oh yeah, he says and does all that stuff because he's insane. He's just more raunchy, you know.
Yeah.
But like. To me, Deadpool is insane. He's an insane guy. So, like, are they going to put that into the next one, or is he just going to be raunchy? You know what I mean? Yeah,
I'd rather have him as insane.
I'm used to him being insane and raunchy. I'm used to him being insane, and that's where the raunchiness comes, as opposed to just being douchey, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. He just, like, lacks charm for me personally. Like, I like, you know, like a Robin Hood Fox, like, Disney character. Like, he's very charming. And that's, like, my favorite characters have that charm. Okay, for example, like, Bugs Bunny. I guess, like, I don't want to say he's raunchy, but I love Bugs Bunny. And he can have, like, that talk back. Like, he's a talker, right? And Deadpool's a talker, and I appreciate that. But I feel like he goes over the edge a little too much for my taste, like, me personally. If that makes any sense.
Well, he's more straight-up adult.
Yeah.
He's like, that's an adult, like, style character. Which is amazing when you see people... It was equivalent to, like, remember when we saw people with the Revenant? Mm-hmm. We were like, and we saw that, like kids, like, a parent and, like, her kids brought in, right when the Revenant was done, they brought in their kids. I was like, wait a minute, are you going to tell them to watch the Revenant? I was, like, looking around, are there kids in here? But I bet there were kids out there in the world. How else would you spend that much money, man?
But they switched theaters because
No, but, like, around the world, watching it right now, I bet the kids are... That's going to be the movie in which, and you think about it, it's great because that's how comics, that style of comics used to be. That's why I read certain comics mm-hmm. where it was vulgar. There was nudity in it. And you're like, wow, this isn't like the normal, you know, clean superhero. This is like the dangerous ones. And
yeah.
People are going to want to try to sneak into that. And I think in a way that's really intriguing because comics, you know, in a way there used to be, you know, like a couple years ago, it was like, no, people were like, comics are more adult now and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, they're just more, but they're not adult. They're just more, you know, smarter. They're not dubbed down anymore.
Yeah.
So they're not like, I never thought they were like adult. There wasn't like titties in the face and shit like that. Like, this is adult. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was like crossed in those books. But like, I feel like Deadpool and the Deadpool comic is one of those ones where like, if I was a kid and my mom, you know, saw that and knew what Deadpool was, like, what? You can't read that. Like, that's what the Deadpool movie is.
Yeah.
And what's the Deadpool comic is, which is intriguing to me because I love when things are dangerous like that. It's like, you shouldn't be reading that comic book. I thought they're for kids. You know,
well, if I was like 16, especially like a guy or like a 16 year old boy, I'd probably love Deadpool.
Yeah,
because that's like because it is one of the first boobies you see. And yeah, you're that's just like yeah.
I feel like
man.
That's what it is. The coolness is how raunchy it is. It's not like I'm gonna go sneak into I don't know what a raunchy. I don't even know what raunchy scary type movies there are these days.
American Pie was considered raunchy.
Yeah, in a way it's like that. In a way it's like that. It's like, oh, it's raunchy, you know. But
raunchy
American
comedy.
Pie was a success. You know?
And I also didn't really like American Pie.
Yeah, but...
So maybe maybe raunchy's not my thing, but I do like... I don't want to say nasty stuff. I'm just saying I'm not like a prude, but there's like... I guess there's some type of line where it just like crosses where it's just like not enjoyable to the point where I can appreciate the humor, but it's just... I don't know. Maybe it's just like I keep saying it's just not my jam.
But in a way, that's what it is. It's like that's the genre that that movie filled, was that this is wrong genre. You know what I mean?
Well,
this is messed up.
I'm trying to think of like a raunchy thing that I actually enjoyed.
In a way, that's the world that movie would exist. The same they would talk about the same things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Maybe I just appreciate the Amy Schumer thing because it comes from a female. Like if there was a female superhero that was like a female Deadpool,
that'd be the pro.
Okay. See, I like the pro. Maybe that's the dividing line. Is like, oh, a guy. Oh, I don't like a guy talking like this, but
a girl can.
Except
the pro is a superhero too.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, yeah.
Hancock was supposed to be. Remember back in the day, Hancock. That was supposed to be the raunchy superhero, and they neutered it halfway in the movie. Mm-hmm. So, and at the end, it's not even raunchy. And like,
he just became lovable.
That they're like, oh, now I'm with an edge. But like, the parts I really enjoyed was of Hancock was when he was like, you know, when he's trashing shit when he's a superhero because he's drunk, and like people are like, you smell like alcohol.
Yeah.
You smell like alcohol because I was drinking, bitch. Like, if you think about it. Hancock was trying to be in the Deadpool realm, but with the difference between that is they neutered Hancock's character because I guess Will Smith has to, you know, I don't know what it is, but you know, they didn't want to go full on, but Deadpool did not stop. It held on because you know what? That would have been a riot because that would have been twice they did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, see, I'm just saying from a censorship perspective, I like how they went full out. I don't like when people censor it. So if you're going to do it, you're going to do it.
Yeah, so that's what I appreciate. Because also at the same time, like, this is a movie that should not have been made. If it was looked at just by the studios and the pitches and all that stuff, it would not have been made. But it was actually the people that motivated that buzz, and that's what's really amazing about the success. It was like people wanted to see it, and they got it made with the motivation to do it right, and then it's a success, so it paid off. It's like... people made that thing happen and they made it a success. You know, it's like a Daniel Bryan thing. It's like they wanted to see that and they got the belt and it's a success and people loved it and people enjoyed that. It might not be for everyone, but at least you can know that you're not getting something that's not true.
And also maybe it will help the studios. Like Deadpool can be a great example of like how doing something out of the typical formula made double the amount of money than some of these other pitchers.
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, in a way, is in that realm, too. It's like, it's revolutionary.
See, that photo didn't have Guardians opening weekend, and I don't know how much they made on opening weekend. But they did, as I recall, it was like a big opening. I mean, I don't know where it ranked, but I remember it did very well.
And that, you know what's cool is that with Guardians, that was like trailer. Once that trailer hit, people are like, holy shit, what is this? You know what I mean?
And also, the cool thing, though, with Guardians is that like there were... some, I guess, adult moments there. It wasn't raunchy, but it was like adults can love it, kids can love it. It was like, it was kind of like that Pixar effect where everybody can enjoy it.
Yeah, Deadpool is not that,
but it's enjoyable. But that's what I like. Like I do like how like Guardians of the Galaxy can hit like 6-year-olds at a level and can hit like 20-year-olds and then 60-year-olds.
But at the same time, I don't think Guardians is the raunch movie though.
It's not.
It just has Chris Pratt's character has that edge. You know what I mean? He is like, you know, a stubborn guy. You know, he's the only human in that group. So make him strong.
Yeah.
Make him a smartass. And a lovable smartass is what he is.
But people are loving the villains and the lovable smartasses. Those characters, I feel like nowadays, are those twists that, you know, you have that superhero character, but you got to have that character flaw, the personality. In a way, it's a flaw that people relate to more. And I feel like that those characters are really making big impressions on people in 2016.
I feel like
era.
That's the thing about when you create any type of character, I feel like you have to have something that they go, no matter what, hero or villain, depending on what the direction you're trying to do, you have to have that moment in which you write that makes the audience know who this person is and where they're going, or maybe if they don't have a backstory, their motivations towards doing something or the direction and then they're going. And that's cool because with Deadpool in the movie, you yeah, you have the raunch, but they, I feel like they balanced it. It wasn't a total, it was a balance of motivation. You know what I mean?
I mean, how many times though, okay, this is, and I'm being rude about Deadpool, but if you make like a circle with one hand and then have your finger go in and out of the circle.
Yeah.
I saw that joke probably like 4 times. I'm just but like, I think that's only, a 16-year-old boy
I feel like
joke.
They only did it twice though.
Okay, well, I feel like they might have done it more than twice.
Well, if you think about it, that's the same reaction that you had was the same reaction that was had in the movie too.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
That was the same exact, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, but it was entertaining. I don't want to give away too much of the movie,
I think that was a great Valentine. It was a great Valentine's Day movie yeah. to see on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't have the same effect if it was some like other like Taylor Swift movie, Valentine's or something like that.
I never even saw that. It wasn't just her movie though. There's like an ensemble of like 30 people, but she was in it. Yes, Valentine's Day, brought to you by the people who made some other movie that was just like that. But I did like the opening credits too. How they like it had like some Hollywood jerk or something.
Yeah,
like,
you instantly knew what type of movie you're watching,
right?
They
were like the comedic effect and CGI character.
I'm excited again now to see where the next movie would be because now you're done with because really half of the movie was flashback backstory. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like pretty much like half of that movie was a flashback.
Just catching people up.
Just but also it's like that's a necessity.
It is.
That's the curse of introducing, you know what I mean? Of introducing any character like that. At least in the superhero genre, you gotta do the back in the day.
See,
this is where we came from.
I like the Deadpool like snark, like that one part. You know, this isn't giving away anything really, but they do have this one reference where, like, they have this whole flashback, and then like they back it up, and he's like, "Okay, you've already been through all this," and they go through like a tape. It's like. And then it speeds up and you get like a little bit of the, what is it called? Like the shakiness of the film. And
VHS then, right?
Well, that's what it looked like. Some type of VHS film that's like speeding up. But I thought that part was, I mean, I've seen it done before necessarily, but I did like that sense of humor.
If you use a tool right, it's a great tool.
Yeah,
no
and it
what.
Was used right. And like that type of humor I thought was like cool and clever. And yeah, it was enjoyable. But I still have heart for Spider-Man.
That's what's great about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Cause those are my types.
And I think that's what's great about the comic book superhero world in general is that there should be, at least for me, comic books, there should be a comic book for everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Deadpool might not be the one. Spider-Man might not be the one. You know what I mean? But there should be a comic for everyone.
There's a hero for everyone.
Yeah. Or a villain. Or a character and stuff like that. That's really what it comes down to. It's all just stories in general. So there should be a character in this world for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
So is Spider-Man your guy?
My guy?
Yeah.
What? For?
For like a superhero.
I don't know. I don't know what my superhero guy is. I mean, I'm always going to lean towards Batman, but I feel like at the same time, it's like it's not even mine anymore.
Yeah. You have always been influenced by the Batman
I've been
world.
So influenced by Batman the animated series though that's like really where all
well,
my stuff comes
well,
down.
I think you should just target that instead of just saying broadly Batman.
That's
you could
what
just
I say.
Be like Batman the animated series. That's your jam.
Yeah, because back in the day when I was watching Batman, you know, and I always knew of Batman and I always dabbled in that, but I was it didn't really click in my like the legacy of my life until like Batman the animated series. Mm-hmm. And like ever since that, even with that reading the comics wasn't the same as the cartoon for me, you know, and I've always sworn by that. And there's some great Batman stories, and I still read a lot. I still read a lot of that. I don't really read Batman as much or anything like that. But, I mean, that version of Batman, that world has always been true to me.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Because that was like the noir Batman, too.
Yeah.
If anything, that's influenced my filmmaking because I was like a film. They were making short films or short episode films. So
Bruce Timm, man. Loving it. Yeah, for me, it's pretty much like Looney Tunes, but straight up Bugs Bunny. I don't know if you want to count him as a superhero, but he is one to me. But if you want to get straight into the comics, I'll go with Spider-Man as my representative.
Representative superhero?
Yes. Because I feel like everybody has something that represents them in the movies or in the comics. And that can overlap. But yeah, I love me some Bugs Bunny.
I love me some Bugs Bunny.
I love me some Bugs Bunny.
I love me some of them
hero.
Ribs. Some of them ribs.
He's my hero.
Some of them ribs.
That wabbit.
I guess that's how it is. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed that. Let me tell you about where you can find us on the internet. I am Astray J on Instagram. She is Carolyn Bilewski on Instagram. Check out my website, joecarabeo.com. My band's website, mondaymistress.com. Check out my new work. Check it out. Did I say joecarabeo.com? Yeah, joecarabeo.com. This show is brought to you by Astray Productions. Check them out at astrayproductions.com. Check out my updated stuff at goastray.tumblr.com. What else we got, Carolyn?
Well, I have a website. It's called carolynbilewski.com. Yes, and I also do a comic strip called Curls, and you can see that at curls-studio.com/curls if you want to go directly to the comic. But yeah, we got a lot of fun stuff. We're on like almost every social media outlet, but we're not on Pinterest.
Yeah.
Should we be on Pinterest?
I don't really care much about that. I'm not trying to be on every social media.
I mean, can we be on everyone?
I'm not trying to be on everything. I'm not even on everything. But hope you guys enjoyed that show. Hope you enjoyed that show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
CarolynJoeShow.com. Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.
Yes. Yes. Yes.